Tonight's topic is on how to apply Dharma in daily life. So, of course, first of all, we need to mention, you know, what are the essential principles of the Buddhist teaching called Dharma. Dharma means the right teaching. And then we think about how to apply it in our daily lives. And the most fundamental part of the teaching is that first you observe life and find that it's full of sufferings. But fortunately, we understand that the sufferings are caused by causes. And when we try to reach the root of all the sufferings, Buddha told us that the main problem is because we are limited by the concept of a self. That is inevitable because we were born under certain conditions in certain societies, certain cultures, and so we become conditioned by our upbringing, by our culture, by our experiences in life. And then we have our own view of life, and of course each one would like to have a better life, you know. But since everyone wants a better life for himself, herself, so there inevitably are conflicts in life. So under such circumstances, and if you look longer in life, you see that eventually there's senility due to old age, and throughout life you may encounter all kinds of illness, unexpected accidents, or become disabled, and in the end there's death, inevitable, you know. So if you look at it only like this, it seems that how could it be possible for us to have any peace and happiness in life? But Buddha said, if you can find out the root of all these problems, that is, that we, each one of us, is confined by the concept of the self and by his own preferences and inclinations, and as a result, you know, you are not handling your life with the right perspective. You are biased in some way, and that's the main cause of all the suffering and unhappiness in life. But then how can one escape from oneself? One doesn't really even know what oneself is. Why? Because there are aspects of yourself that you can recognize only when certain situation comes up. And then you react it in some way, and then you realize, oh, I'm actually like that. Because it's beyond you to see exactly who you are, you know, in that sense. And fortunately, Buddha say, you know, they are, because he has become liberated from this limitation by his own self. So he designed some ways to help us. Through these kind of practices, you gradually loosen the grip of your own self on yourself. And eventually, if you live long enough and you practice diligent enough, it is possible that you become free from these personal limitations. And that's what we call enlightenment, you know. But how can we reach this? Since the root of the problem is limitation by your own self, so the solution is, he pointed out, when you look beyond this little self, you know, you see what? The whole picture is that everyone has the same problem, you know. And instead of fighting for the better of just oneself, we need to be compassionate to others, help each other in order for all of us to have a better life. And he also pointed out that to realize enlightenment ultimately, You have to go beyond all limitations. All limitations that are basically set by concepts. But this is not an easy task. Anyway, still, it's possible, and someone has actually gone through the process of self-transformation from a limited person to a boundless enlightened being. So he designed practices that can help us gradually come out. And what is essential to all these Buddhist practices is that through repetition of some simple acts, then you gradually loosen the grip of concepts, because usually we act out based on the concept of I'm like this, I'm in this position, I want this, I don't like that. And then from that, you act it out. But now if you keep doing, for example, the repetition of the name of a Buddha, then through so many repetitions, when you act, it's a natural act of just saying that sound. You are free from the limitation of personal concept. That's how we, you know, gradually return to the original state of being free from any conceptual limitations. Because as soon as you have certain concepts, then there is duality. You separate, you know, you set a limitation conceptually. In your experience, the whole thing is one totality. You know, there is no, not even the distinction of sound and colors in your experience. They all come together. But with the concepts, you separate them as, oh, this part is called sound. This part is called color. But actually, when you, right now, when you experience, where is the distinction? Where is the separation? Those are mental separation and distinctions. So, through repetition of simple activities, and one more thing is that the Buddha's name is unrelated to our daily life, unrelated to worldly matters. So, it can help you to become free from your conceptual net that you are so well accustomed to. But the other kind of simple practice that you can do is prostration to Buddha. You know, why do we make prostration? On the one hand, it's physical exercise, good for your health. On the other hand, when you do it for so many times, it becomes a routine. When you do it without thinking, you see. And in this way, furthermore, because Buddhas, they are beings beyond limitations, so they can help you. But in order for them to really help you, you have to loosen your own self, you know, the limitation you set yourself. You have to loosen it so that their help can really reach you. So through these simple acts, and the way to gain the strength of these simple practices is by doing it daily, regularly. You set a certain time. At this time, you definitely do only this without doing anything else. And you set a certain number of times for yourself so that you won't just do it for 3-4 days and then you forget about it. You know, you have to stick to it, be consistent, and do it regularly. And gradually, you will sense the benefits. The benefits comes, on the one hand, you will find that when certain situations occur, in the past, you may be very emotional, agitated, angry, unease. But after you have done the practices, you know, regularly for some time, you find that when the same situations arise, you know, you have more peace and calmness in you. You find spiritual strength in this way. And the other benefits that you can gradually sense is that as your inner peace develops, you also feel that your physical body becomes more relaxed, not so tense, not so easily be anger, all these kind of benefits. And actually, for me, because I have been very devoted for a long time, you know, I experienced many physical even transformations in me. For example, my hair. I used to have very little, and then when I was in my 40s, right now I'm 67, in my 40s, some baby hair started to come out without applying any medication, anything. Ralph probably likes this. Huh? So you see, those are unexpected benefits, because when your mind is peaceful, you are relaxed, then your physical condition is also better. See, so as a result, the unexpected benefits come out. And then if you keep doing more, you know, then gradually you even find that when people have problems, your prayer can help them. That's something usually we don't know what to do. We hear, oh, this person sick, this person passed away, this person run into an accident. What can you do, you know? You at most can say sympathy or go offer them some help, that's all. But when you have done spiritual practice for a long time, when you pray, even though you don't know them at all, people just give me a name, and they are far away, overseas, still, they can sense, suddenly, some sense the help immediately. Some find the situation change for better, like this kind of help too. So in the long run, you know, if you engage in spiritual practices, the Buddhist practices, it can benefit not only yourself, but many other people. And one more important thing is, when you do all these practices, one essential key to the effectiveness of these practices is that you don't think, oh, I do this just for the benefit of myself or for my family. Because when you have this kind of limitation set, then you cannot escape from what we were saying. The root of the problem is the self-set limitations. So you have to think of all sentient beings. You realize that actually they are all like you. They also want happiness. They don't know how to get happiness. They're suffering inevitably and repeatedly. So you pray for all of them. By this broadening of your mind, your efforts becomes not just effort for yourself. You're doing a great thing for all beings. And in the long run, the real benefits will come out. But this is the key. Don't put a limitation on your motivation, you know. It has to be for the ultimate benefit of all sentient beings. We want all of them to become fully enlightened. That's the key of your motivation. If you stick to this motivation, then you don't worry about the personal things, because gradually, Buddhas and protectors, they will take care of them for you without you knowing why. But so far, what we have said is, how do we apply Dharma to life? On the one hand, we learn the teachings, we know life is impermanent. We cannot always just busy with the worldly things. We have to look ahead and think of doing some spiritual practice, so in the long run, we will not wasting our whole life on things eventually that's useless. We want to do the Buddhist practices so we can benefit ourselves and all others. But there's another aspect of how to apply Dharma to daily life is that, what if right now I'm not doing any practice and I'm living my life in daily life, you know, and with your colleagues, with your friends, with your families, there are always some kind of problem. How do we act in those situations? That's another application of Dharma in life. And for this kind of guidance, we also look back at the fundamental teaching, saying that on the other hand, on the one hand, everything is transient, so no need to be too upset or too insistent. It's going to change. Meaning, don't take things too serious. Take it easier to yourself and to others too. That way, everyone live easier. And on the other hand is that the basic teaching says when we can go beyond our conceptual limitations, actually all are one, all are in oneness. So in this spirit, you know, we try to help others and be tolerant with others. Why? Because sometimes you don't have time to explain all this. They need not accept all this, right? The only way to act out is so that we don't increase the problem is that we yield. We be tolerant to others. That way, harmony will increase. Peace will increase. That's a real practice, because in this way, you also reduce your self-centeredness, your self-insistence, your self-importance, all these kind of things. So if our goal is to, you know, be free from self, you first need to let it become weaker. Otherwise, you cannot become free from it. So these are the essential points that I want to bring up. And then, if you have some questions, you know, feel free to raise it. And after the question and answers, we'll do the ritual. Yes?
I have a question about, forgiveness. Usually they say forgive and forget.
Uh-huh.
What is the Buddhist perspective on forgiving?
Oh, Buddhist view of, the root of not forgiving is that you hold on to certain concept, either self-righteousness or that the other person has wronged you, all these kind of things, right? But Buddhists think that if you hold on to this, you suffer with it. That's a problem. No gain to anyone. Only your own suffering will increase. So if you cannot forget, that just means you stick to your suffering. See? So the wisdom says, oh, let it go. And also, if you cannot forgive others, who can forgive you? You know? If you want to, because no one is perfect, you know. Maybe they do you wrong, but you probably also did them something wrong.
Because I heard a Buddhist say that they could forgive but not forget.
Oh, that's not correct. Why? Because ultimately, why we do the spiritual practice is that we want to become free from conceptual limitations. And actually, if you engage in Dharma practices seriously and for a long time, then the concept will just evaporate gradually. And for serious practitioners, you know, they will someday naturally come to the point when there's no thought, naturally no thought arising. Just nothing there. So how, if you cannot forget, then how can you reach that? You still hold on to concepts. That's there's no way that you can get enlightenment in this way. Yeah.
If you really want to be forgiven, then forgetting goes along with the forgiving.
Right.
It works coincides with
right. And also one way to help you to be able to forgive is that you see from the bigger picture, you know, you see, oh, it is not just a matter of you and me, you know, everyone is have the similar problems, you know. And all those who cannot forgive, you know, they remain in suffering. We don't want to remain in suffering. So the only way for us to be free, for also to help others, is that we forgive each other, you know. Instead, we pray for each other. Yeah. that the result will be better for all.
So if there is someone who says they haven't forgotten but they forgive, that's not correct, right?
Well, that can be a factual statement. They have forgiven, but they still remember the thing. But for our spiritual practice, you know, for the advancement, it is better that eventually you even forget. That's the point, yeah. You cannot force yourself to forget, see. Unless, you know, you engage in practices long time and you always think of all sentient beings, then it's possible. Because gradually you realize it's such a trivial thing. Why do I keep being bothered by this? Yeah.
What if it's not something trivial? What if it's something very...
Oh.
Like something very serious and you're trying to forgive, but people around you don't want to forgive and they want to hold on.
I know, but when you talk like this, you still think of only a small area. That's why we say we want to develop bodhicitta, become a bodhisattva, because then you look at all sentient beings, then everywhere have this kind of problem. It's a big deal in this circle, but if it's everywhere, and if you compare with other things, it all becomes not so important. And also eventually, you're going to pass away. Why do you carry it on with you into the grave? Why burden yourself so much? Oh, the sooner you can go beyond this, the better for the rest of your life. And also for all involved. If they cannot come out, you pray for them. You have no way to help them, but you pray to Buddha for them. And Buddha are beings already beyond all limitations. They can gradually help them through your prayers. Yeah, your prayer becomes the channel that brings the blessing of power of Buddhas to them. Yeah. That's how we do the prayers.
So like wiping the slate clean means you actually forget.
Sure. And the main point is because our mind becomes so broad. We see the whole picture of the suffering of all beings. Then you go beyond these personal things, you know. And you see eventually we are going to die. Why just keep fighting, you know? Useless.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Then you feel better about yourself. So that, like,
right.
Your life feels clean, right. And you can go on to
the analogy I like to use is like small kids.
Like recharge.
If their toy has problem, oh, they cry a lot about it. Big deal. But when you grow up, who will cry over a toy? You see. So if you know grow up spiritually, you no longer worry about this kind of matter. Yeah. So, before we conclude this, I want to emphasize again, the very important thing is daily, regular Dharma practice. That's the thing that can, you know, like constantly keep your mind above your worries, you know. And gradually help you to really grow spiritually. Yeah. That's very important. And no need to try to do a lot of things. It's not a matter like that. Just repetition of Buddha's name or a mantra and do some prostration. Good for your health too. But if you cannot do the prostration, take a walk, and when you walk, do the chanting. That's fine too. Yeah. For myself, you know, every morning I go to a cemetery in the city where I live, and I take about 1 hour walk, and when I walk, I do my daily practices. Yeah. Okay, so now I'll go on to the ritual, and I explain this ritual to you. Let me see which year I went to Wutaisan. I don't remember now, maybe 7-10 years ago, I was on pilgrimage to Wutai, Five Terrace Mountain in China. That's the holy land of Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom. And we stay there for like maybe 5-6 days, and the last night, the next morning, early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, we were going to leave for next pilgrimage place. And that morning, 3-4 o'clock, in my dream, I saw Pema Sambhava, Guru Rinpoche.